Sometimes we can be in God's presence and we're not aware of it. And I think of when Jacob woke up one morning and said, surely the Lord was here and I didn't know it. And Jacob was good at communicating with God, and yet he didn't know that God had visited him. And so sometimes we're in the presence of God and we don't know it. And sometimes we just need to be that bit more aware of what's going on around about us and whether we're in the presence of God. Well, we're always in God's presence, but I'll explain that in just a moment. I want to just to show you something. It's an... Which cup are you using, Paula? Now, I don't pretend that it was me that came up with this illustration, but I do live with a very creative husband, so he was able to help me here. So, do you remember, do you ever get these magic cloths? And you put them on, you spill water and you put them on the table and they go, and they soak up all the water, and they're absolutely brilliant. These cloths were designed to soak up, okay? But what happens when you put them in the washing machine a couple of times and you add some fabric softener? And then the next time you go and you put them on the table and you wipe the table and you're just moving the water around. What's all that about? This better work, otherwise I'm coming, otherwise I'm stepping down there and letting Julie take over. So here we go, we have a magic cloth and it's been in comfort. So let me just pour that into here. You saw me pour it down the side of the cloth. The cloth's practically bone dry still. And it's because it's been steeped in comfort. Now, what about our lives? Are our lives so steeped in comfort? The things that are comfortable to us, the things that are familiar, that we don't recognize and we're not able to soak up the presence of God. So that cloth is just a little example. Don't get too focused on the cloth, but try to think about your own life. Am I so comfortable where I am that I'm forgetting what the presence of God must be like? So that's why I decided on the topic. So what do I mean by the presence of God? Well, the Bible talks about the Shekinah glory of God. The Hebrew word is Shekinah, and it means dwelling or presence. And when we talk about hearing about the Shekinah glory of God, it's about we've seen God's presence, okay? And that's how the Old Testament talks about the presence of God. And that's like God's omnipresence. So God is here all the time. God is everywhere. We know God is present here. But there's another form of God's presence, and that's God's manifest presence. And that's his presence that affects you as an individual, that affects you as an individual, that speaks into your situation, that speaks into your heart. And that's the manifest presence of God. And sometimes it's that manifest presence of God that we find difficult. It's easy to say God is everywhere. It's much more difficult to say God is here. But that's the difference between his omnipresence and his manifest presence. So his omnipresence says that God is everywhere. We know that God is here. We know that we walk into his presence every week we come here. We know that we never walk out of his presence. The Psalms tell us, where can I flee from your presence if I go, you know, up to the skies? You're there if I make my bed down in Sheol. You're there if I go right or left or in and out what door. If I'm sleeping, if I'm awake, Lord, you are there. His presence is always, always with us. His omnipresence is with us. But what about his manifest presence? Is his manifest presence with you today? Is he speaking into your heart? Are you receptive enough to allow God to speak into your situation and into your situation? Are you allowing God in with his manifest presence? So God is everywhere, and yet he's still focused on you and me. Isn't that a wonderful God? That we sometimes sometimes think of the God as everywhere, but we forget that his interest is in us as an individual. So how did God appear in the Old Testament? Well, first of all, the Ark of the Covenant, the Israelites had already met God by this time, but they made God commanded that the Ark of the Covenant be kept with his scriptures in it, the laws that Moses had brought down from the mountain and written on the tablets, and also he'd put manna in, they put manna in the Ark of the Covenant, and that was almost seen as where the presence of God was. The Israelites saw the Ark of the Covenant as being very sacred, very powerful, very holy, but also very scary, because if it got into the wrong hands, people died. So it was a very frightening thing, the Ark of the Covenant, and yet at the same time, it was a very, it was where they knew the presence of God was, and it was kept in the tent of meeting, and Moses would go into the tent of meeting, and when he went into the tent of meeting to speak with God, the Israelites would all stand at the entrances to their tents and worship. And that's one of the main symbols, I suppose, of God's manifestation to the Israelites. But one of the very first tangible ways that God introduced himself to the Israelites was in Exodus 19. He told Moses to consecrate the people because he wanted them to become a holy nation, a priestly nation. And so he asked them to consecrate them and set them apart. And God was at the top of Mount Sinai, and he came in thunder and lightning and thick cloud and fire. And he'd said to Moses, put a fence around the bottom of the mountain, because if any of them come up the mountain towards me, surely I will consume them. So it was a very powerful thing here that the Israelites had come across. And the Israelites all came out. Moses brought them all out to meet God. But they were so frightened anyway, they wouldn't want to go up. And so they were so scared that Moses got the opportunity to go up there all by himself. You go, you go, you go into the presence of God, you go. How many times do we do that? Who we think, oh, if I stand beside somebody who's spiritual, then maybe some of that will rub off on me. If I go to church every Sunday, then maybe some of that spirituality will rub off on me. If I say my prayers every morning, read my Bible every night, sometimes we think that spirituality will rub off on me, but it actually takes us to step into the presence of God, and that's what Moses did when he went up the mountain. And in Exodus 19, it said, it came about on the third day, it was morning, there was thunder and lightning flashes and thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that the people at the in the camp trembled. Have you ever trembled in the presence of God? When you listen to what the scripture says about what happens in the presence of God, have you ever trembled in God's presence? Have you known his presence to be such that you actually find yourself not need and trembling? And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. And as I said, it fell to Moses to go and seek out God's presence, to go up to the mountain and commune with him, and he would show the Israelite people the ways of God. Now, Moses was gone for quite a while, and in chapter 32, it tells us that the Israelites started to get a little bit fed up because he was gone for too long. Like, can't be bothered listening anymore. He's obviously not coming back. Maybe he's being consumed by God. Let's build a golden calf. What a great idea. Let's make another God. Now, God is on the mountain, thunder and lightning, fire and cloud, and they're saying, let's make a new one. Let's make another God. And sometimes that's what we do in our lives. We know that God is present. We know that he's all there, and yet there's sometimes we take on things that don't belong to us. We take on doing things that we shouldn't do. We take on various things in our lives that are just not what God would have for us, and we almost make them other gods, like things and possessions and some people and relationships. And we have to remember that these things are not necessarily for us, and that we don't need to go away and make another God. We've already got an all-powerful God. Anyway, chapter 33 is what I'd like Phyllis to put up for us. And this was after Moses came back down the mountain and he'd found that they had been worshipping this golden calf. So don't jump too far ahead of the verses, because I might talk to some of the verses, Phyllis. So the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go to the land I promised an oath on to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you. Now listen to this. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now up until this point, God had gone before them. He went before them as a pillar of cloud, and he went before them as a pillar of fire. But God's now saying, I'll send an angel. God was raging with the Israelites. Okay. The next verse. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will go with you because you are a stiff-necked people. And I might just destroy you on the way. Okay? So God is saying, I mean, it's almost amusing, but at the same time, this is very serious. God is now saying, I'm going to remove my presence from you. I might destroy you on the way. Verse 4. When the people heard these distressing words, clearly, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites that you're a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you for even a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I'll decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp. This is what I was talking about the tent of meeting, and anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, the people rose and stood at the entrances of their tents, watching Moses until he entered. And as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now, this is not about God speaking face to face, because in Scripture we're told that no one can see the face of God. Okay, but this is just how Moses communed with God. Moses had become friends with God because he'd been on the mountaintop with God for, you know, a period of time, and they'd become friends. And Moses then would return to the camp, but Joshua, the son of Nun, did not leave the tent. And Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know who you'll send with me. All he said was an angel. And you've said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. So if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. And he's pleading with God again. Remember, this nation is your people. You chose them. So God, Moses is pleading with God to continue to go with them. And the Lord replied and relented, because God is a compassionate God. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to him, just to be sure, if your presence doesn't go with us, then don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Now let's just think about that for a moment. How does anyone know that we're different? How do the people in your life know that you are a Christian, that you are a God follower, a Jesus follower? How will anyone know that we are different if you don't go with us, Lord? Are you living your life differently? Are you speaking differently? How will you know? What else will distinguish us from others unless it's your presence? Verse 17, and the Lord said to Moses, I'll do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. So he promised to go with them. And Moses said, pushing it a little bit further, show me your glory. Now that was a big ask. That's a big ask. And the Lord said, I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. Now, he says, I'll cause my goodness to pass in front of you, but his glory was at the... Moses was only able to see the back of God. So you'll see this in the next few verses. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see my face and live. And the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And this is where the one of the worship songs that we sing, it talks about being in a cleft of the rock in your presence, O Lord. And it's about how we cannot fully see God's glory. We cannot fully see his presence. Otherwise, my goodness, we wouldn't be able to live. But we can be hidden. He can shield us. And God put his hand in front of Moses so that Moses couldn't see him passing, but he could see the back of God as God moved away. So the next verse, when my glory passes on the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. I think it's my mic that's giving that noise. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back. Face must not be seen. So that's Exodus 33, and that's just a marvelous account of how Moses looks at God and says, what's going on, God? I know these people have sinned. I know these people have done a really, really awful thing. But please, Lord, would you have compassion on them? Would you have compassion on them and continue to move in your presence and continue to stay with us? So Moses intercedes. So how should we respond? Now we've spoken about the presence of God and what it is and how it's seen in the Old Testament. How should we respond to the presence of God? So I'm asking this question to bring from you a bit of interaction. How do you think we should respond in God's presence? The Psalm says, in the presence there is fullness of joy and life. Yep. So the Bible says in your presence there's fullness of joy. The Bible in Psalms also says that we should enter his gates with thanksgiving. So we should be expressing joy. We should be expressing thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. And it also says that God is near to the brokenhearted. So our response to that sometimes is to lean in. Just to lean into his presence, because God is sometimes loud, but sometimes he has a very still, small whisper, and he's very close to those who are brokenhearted in whatever situation. Sometimes he's very loud. That woke us all up. That was planned, wasn't it, Tom? Also in Genesis chapter 3, what did Adam and Eve do when God's presence appeared walking in the garden after they'd eaten from the forbidden fruit? They hid. And sometimes that's us. We hide in the presence of God because we think, I'm actually not in the right place at the moment, so I don't really want to come into your presence. God, don't touch me in this meeting, please. I might need to confess my sin. Well, that's me pretty much most of the time, because I'm a sinful person, I'm a human being, and I sin. And I often come before God and say, maybe the reason I don't experience those wonderful conversations with you, Lord, is because I'm sinful. And I have to come before him. Sometimes I run away. Sometimes I remember God was speaking to me about an issue of jealousy, and I didn't want to face it. I did not want to face it. And every time the words came into my mind, I totally ran off. I totally did something else to keep me busy so that I didn't have to listen to what God was saying. Until eventually I ended up flat on my face on my bed crying and saying, right, God, deal with this. Deal with this, because I can't carry it any longer. Jonah, what did he do? He legged it. Jonah ran away. I'm not preaching to those people. You might save them, and they're horrible, they're sinful people. I'm off. So Jonah ran away. So sometimes when we talk about being in the presence of God, we think, oh, it's going to be wonderful, it's going to be amazing, but sometimes it's a bit difficult for us. It's a bit of a challenge. Acts 3:19 talks about repentance followed by times of refreshing, and that is what repentance is. And my dad always used to say to me, repent. But he always used to say to me, repentance is a wonderful thing. It's not a bad thing to sit down and, oh, I've done this and, oh, I've done that. It's like, oh, God, please take this from me. I want times of refreshing to come into my life. I want you to bless me. And it's a turning around. And in Hebrews, we have confidence in approaching God. And I'm aware I'm probably over my time, so I've just got two very quick things to say to you. There was a little boy that said to his dad, coming out of church one day, he said, Daddy, what size is God? Daddy was like, not sure. And he looked up in the sky, and there was this aeroplane flying in the sky. And he said to his son, what size is that aeroplane? And his son looks up and he says, it's teeny, Dad. It's teeny. It's tiny. Tiny little aeroplane. And his dad popped him in the car and drove him round to the airport. And they came along the part of the airport that was next to the fence, and they could see some of the aeroplanes. And he said, what size is that aeroplane? And he said, oh, Dad, it's huge. It's massive. It's really big. And his dad said, that's the same with God. The closer you are to God, the bigger he seems. The further away from God you are, the more focused you are on your problems, the closer you are to God, the bigger he is, and the more able you're able to give him your difficulties and whatever it is that you're going through. And when I come back to this magic cloth, and we experimented last night, but we forgot to take the washing out of the machine this morning, but if you wash the cloth in vinegar, it'll take the fabric softener out. And if you do your washing machine, instead of using fabric softener, use vinegar and essential oil. Vinegar can be bought at Tesco, essential oil can be bought from Terry. You use vinegar and essential oil. They promise that your clothes won't smell of vinegar the next day, but it actually cleans out all of the fabric softener that's been in it previously and makes it able to soak up again. And just think of this, the cleansing blood of Jesus, that's your vinegar, and your essential oil is the power of the Holy Spirit. So just think of that, vinegar and oil. And that's what we need when we come into God's presence. We need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. And then when we come into God's presence, we'll know better. But it takes us to move into God's presence. And he's here for each and every one of you in a manifest way. Now, I'm going to say we're going to move into a time of praise and worship. If anybody does want prayer this morning, if you do feel like you've been lacking in the presence of God and you just feel like, I just would like somebody to cover that for me, I'd like prayer this morning, I'd like prayer over a situation where I want to see God's presence, then please come down to this side of the hall. Don't come out the front, because it's kind of dead obvious and uncomfortable for some people, but make your way down to the side and there will be people there who will be able to pray with you. And if you're on tea and coffee, it doesn't matter, somebody else will cover for you, so you'll be fine. And I just would like to say thank you, and God bless each and every one of you, and may we walk into the presence of God as we go from here this week. Father, help us to live in your presence, to walk in your presence, to be where you are, to see your hand in each situation of our lives. Help us to see the big God, the big aeroplane, the big God, so that our problems become teeny tiny. And we thank you, Father, for the Bible that tells us how we can respond to you. Help us to respond with joy. Help us to respond with thanksgiving. Help us not to hide. Help us not to run away. And help us to respond in repentance.